Today's going to be an interesting conversation for a bunch of reasons. One of the reasons is this is one of my last speeches that I'm willing to give at a mass event. And I'm giving one tomorrow, which is the coup de grace, which is going to be the one that you'll want to watch on Red Pill Expo. Because at that speech, I'm going to be laying out the actual names and faces of the people who financially paid for this campaign of terror. And all of their identities are going to be on one slide, and they're not going to hide anymore. So that's happening tomorrow. But the reason why I have said this is probably going to be one of my last mass event speeches, and I don't mean last. I mean last in terms of I don't want to keep doing these. And I don't want to keep doing these because we have a crisis right now. And one of the things that helps feed the crisis is our absence of focus. When we have a gathering, and I just did a beautiful presentation out in Salt Lake City last week. It was wonderful, and it was a great event. But we had probably 50 wonderful speakers talking about all kinds of topics that are very important and very interesting. And the problem I found was that everybody left inspired. Ladies and gentlemen, we right now are on the precipice of the mass murder of 5 to 11-year-olds in this country, and we're pretending that that's as important or less important as whether we have, you know, critical race theory in schools or whether we have something else. Ladies and gentlemen, let me just pause for a moment. Children are being murdered, and we're pretending like that's one of the issues. I'm sorry, but for me, that's not one of the issues. Right now, the emergency use authorization and the illegality of the criminal conspiracy that gave rise to that emergency use authorization is the issue. And if we aren't focused on the issue, we are going to watch young men and women who never get to live to see adulthood in our name because we were so damn concerned about the topic that was interesting to us. And I'm not going to stand on another stage being a drive-by shooting theater puppet, which is just the, oh, there's the Dave show, and then we move on to the this show and that show and something else. I'm going to put my life energy where it belongs. I am going to put my life energy on a single focus, which is until we hold the criminal conspirators accountable and until we end the emergency use authorization, we're not done. And there is no other topic right now. And I don't care what topic you love, there is no other topic that I'm concerning myself with save the preservation of the next generation from a mass murdering, genocidal, psychopathic group of criminals who've decided that they can look on a 5-year-old with contempt. I don't care how many of you studied statistics. I'm going to tell you, a 2,000 child clinical trial is not statistical power sufficient to determine whether or not something is safe and effective in any universe ever. And it's high time we start actually calling out what it is. This is a genocidal initiative, and that is exactly what's being done, and it's being done by a criminal conspiracy, and we must address that issue. So, one of the things I'm going to encourage you to do is make sure you share this video, because you aren't going to get this one very often again. What you're going to get is Dave Martin, the heretic. That's what's coming. I've been nice guy up until now. Dave Martin the Heretic is the next 2.0, 3.0, 4.0 version of what we're going to get. So this is my last nice presentation. Isn't that nice? Isn't it nice to know that you knew me when I was nice? One of the things I'm going to tell you at the beginning of this presentation is this is not going to be a conversation about whether viruses exist or not. This is not an existential debate on a stupid scientific model that was canonized in 1953 when we allegedly took an X-ray crystallography photograph of what we said was a double helix, which it wasn't. It was a quadrahelix. If you actually look at what the actual photograph was, you'd actually see that it never was a double helix. We actually made up that story. We gave people Nobel Prizes for a lie and then wonder why we're stuck in a world where we're debating whether or not something exists or not when we have a foundation that says it doesn't exist. That's the reason why I'm not going to talk about it. If you build a story on a lie, then every derivative of a lie is still, are you ready for this? A lie. There we go. We actually have an intellect. And the thing we're living through right now is not a public health emergency. The thing we're living through right now is the last hegemonic grasp of an industry that set out in 1984 to build a singular model of what health was. And let me say that again. In 1984, they built a singular model of what health was. And health was the genetic manipulation of an organism to build a perpetual dependency on a pharmaceutical industry. Got it? And by the way, that was actually a sentence you should put up. That's a Twitter feed, that's a meme, that's a whatever else. So if any of you social media mavens out there are out there, that's one that we should actually turn into a meme, because that's in fact what 1984 was. 1984 was when we picked the mercenary in chief to actually run a program which was singularly focused on, number one, establishing the hegemony of vaccines as the only way to treat the human condition, and number two, to put in place the tools that would lead to the 1986 Shield of Immunity Act, called the 1986 Childhood Vaccine Act. Okay? Anthony Fauci was selected for one purpose and one purpose alone. His whole reason for existence at NIAID was to advance one scientific theory, which is that the human beings and the human condition would be better served if we had a universal dependency on immunization through vaccine. That is his model. He said it at the beginning. He hasn't changed it since. And we make the mistake of thinking that somehow or another in the 1980s, things were just kind of moving along and this accidentally came about. No, it was architected, and he was selected to be the mass murderer in chief. Call it what it is. We wouldn't have the 86 Act if we didn't have Fauci. Did you hear what I just said? And by the way, there's a punchline at the end of this where I'm going to tell you how we're going to get away from the 86 Act, so stay with me. But just remember, I started in 84, not in 86, because we have to start at the foundation. And the foundation was choosing a person who had a conquest orientation, choosing a person who was trained to actually believe in crusades and the holiness of divine causes. That's who Anthony Fauci was, right? You've seen him. You've seen him standing next to people, right? You know he was the captain of his basketball team in high school? No kidding, I'm not making that up. Imagine what the rest of the team looked like if Anthony Fauci was the captain. And let's wonder if there could be some Napoleonic kind of psychology going on. I wish I was making that one up. That was actually, when I found that out, I was like, no, really?
Yeah.
It really is. He was the captain of the basketball team in high school. Not surprisingly, we might have some issues, right? Small feet, whatever. I don't know. I don't know what it is. But there's an issue that says that we selected a person who actually had a Napoleonic, a crusade orientation, a divine right orientation, a notion that he could impose his will on humanity because it was the right thing to do. So it is not a surprise that his entire career has been nothing but the death and destruction of people, first by the conflation of what HIV/AIDS was and the rush towards vaccinations, which was supposed to be the camel's nose under the tent. Stay with me, in 2012, that was a joke. See, you guys are too sleepy yet. In 2012, that was a joke, right? MERS, camel's nose under tent, we got it? Stay with me. I'm a deep comic, but I'm a comic at heart. So you gotta, I told you this is my last nice one, so let's just laugh along, because we need to encourage my inner angels, because the demons are coming. So, but what we wanted to do is we wanted to actually pick a topic like syphilis was for penicillin, because syphilis for penicillin was a godsend, right? Pick a thing that nobody can talk about. Sex. Okay, let's say it out loud. Sex. Sex. We can actually say that word and nothing happens. Lightning doesn't come from the sky. We don't have limbs fall off or anything else. There's not a plague of locusts to come in the room. But we pick a topic, we make it inaccessible, like sexually transmitted disease, which we can't talk about. And obviously, in evangelical America, that was never a problem, really. It was those people's problem. But the reason why we picked syphilis is because it was everybody's problem, because the people who actually were most vocal about syphilis were also the ones that were kind of doing syphilic kinds of pursuits, if you will. You know, that kind of thing. But why did we need syphilis? We needed syphilis to sell penicillin. and think I'm making that up, go back to 1930, 1940, 1950 and ask this question. After we figured out how this whole penicillin thing could work, why was it that it wasn't working at industrial scale until we actually linked it up with syphilis, and then it worked fine. It worked great. And we only killed people along the way. And by the way, when you think Tuskegee is the story, it is a story, but not the story. Go back and look at the eugenics office set up by Andrew Carnegie in 1914. Go look at that work and look at the fact that what the Eugenics Office of the United States of America, and that's what it was called, for those of you who think that that was invented by the Third Reich in Germany in the 1930s, in 1914, Andrew Carnegie invented it here, and it was called the Eugenics Office. It was called the Eugenics Office. Okay? Yeah, what is eugenics? What is eugenics? It's the selective breeding, and I'll use their words from the 1920s New York Times article itself. Use their words, not mine. It's when we, as humans, are as wise as cattle breeders. That's their quote. That was front page New York Times. When we apply to humanity what cattlemen are doing to their herds, selectively breeding traits that are desirable and exterminating from the herd those traits that are undesirable. That's what eugenics is. And that's what we paid for in 1914, 15, and 16. And that's what we were doing. And that's why Cold Spring Harbor Labs, the same place that invented DNA. What? You mean Watson and Crick didn't get an angelic visit? You mean that was actually a cover story for a eugenics initiative that was started 10 years earlier? Yes, that is exactly what I mean. And by the way, these aren't my conjectures. These are actual written, published facts that you can go back and independently verify. And we pretend like all of this is some sort of innocent past when we have this nostalgic America that we want to go back to. You want to go back to America that was the back to? Pick a date that you want to go back to, people, because I'm telling you what, we have not seen America yet. The Tocqueville experiment, the human impulse that says that we the people can self-govern, we the people can actually choose wisely, we the people can actually make great decisions, that America hasn't even been born yet. So I don't want to go back to anything. I want to actually arrive at the starting line. And I hope this is our moment in time where we the people decide to, for the first time, say we are not going to allow a paternalistic system built on a colonial conquest orientation model of dominion and suppression. We're not going to allow that system to be the system that corrupts what humanity is capable of, because we the people are capable of miraculous, wonderful things. And we the people need to actually show up and deliver what we're capable of. That's what we the people need to be doing. And that's what we're going to do.